Well, today on our monthly Soundbites segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine, we have an examination of unconventional culinary careers. In a few moments, we're going to meet two chefs who do not work in restaurants. LaGaya Figueres is Sauce's executive editor. Good morning, LaGaya. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Good afternoon, Steve.
Right up front, when we say chef, I think we should define that. Just because you cook in a kitchen doesn't make you a chef. Are we talking about having an official piece of paper?
No, not necessarily. When we think chef, we're talking about somebody who's cooking in the kitchen. And certainly the two gentlemen who are here with us today have graduated from culinary school. Chef is a term that one will hear at the back of the house any day when one is expediting, and it's certainly a term of respect for the level of preparation that they've gone through.
So we're talking about chefs today that don't work in restaurants. Is that like a pilot maybe that doesn't fly an airplane?
I think that the typical thought is that a chef is someone who is working in a restaurant. And it's simply, particularly in this day and age, not necessarily true. Just because you've gone through culinary school doesn't mean that the only thing that you can do is graduate and become a chef in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so prior to today, I was chatting with the program director at L'Ecole Culinaire, which is a local culinary school, as well as folks over at the Culinary Institute of St. Louis at Hickey College, talking about what are you doing as you prepare your students to graduate. What are you telling them? And what are the job openings for them? John Womack is the culinary program director over at L'Ecole. And one thing he said is, 20 years ago, what they were preparing their students to do was to work in a casino. And he said the shift, the population shift in particular, of all things surprising perhaps, is retirement facilities. And I'm not talking nursing home. Mm-hmm. It is upscale living with dining rooms that folks kind of want. They kind of almost want restaurant food. And that's a great outlet for this. So certainly healthcare is a growing industry for those who want to cook, but in particular, retirement facilities. On another plane, talking with the folks at the Culinary Institute, one of the chef instructors said, we emphasize that they can take it wherever they want to go. So that means hospitality, front or the back of the house, photography even, research and development, certainly institutional dining. So there is a huge realm outside of the independently owned, I own my own restaurant and I am the chef of this place.
Right. That's how we traditionally think of it. But, most lawyers never see a courtroom. So I guess it's sort of the same thing, right?
Fine parallel, yes.
Well, over the past couple of months, Sauce Magazine has featured some of the chefs that you've been talking about. And you have a column called What I Do.
Yes.
And you have brought along two of people that you've profiled before.
Yes.
Why don't you introduce us?
Okay. So Corey Wilbert is profiled in this month's What I Do, the April issue of the magazine. And next month, folks will, and we've never done this before, Simon Lusky is going to be in May, so heads up. Corey Wilbert in this month, he is the sous chef at DePaul Health Center. And Simon is the team chef and nutrition specialist for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he is the co-owner of Athlete Eats, which is also a newly opened restaurant on Cherokee that was in recently the magazine as far as places to hit up.
Well, since we've been talking about the unusual ways that chefs get to where they are, gentlemen, could you give us each a little biography? Corey, I could start with you. Just what was your path to becoming a chef?
Hello. I'm originally from St. Louis, and I've wanted to cook since I was little. So naturally, as soon as I was old enough, I got in the mix. My first job was at Bar Italia here in St. Louis, and it's really where I got my feet wet and developed a love for Italian cuisine. And then from there, I went to work with Vito Racanelli at Mad Tomato. I was the chef there. I went to culinary school. And now I am working in DePaul Hospital as the sous chef.
Where did this whole hip-hop background of yours come in?
Oh, the hip-hop background. It started, we were just some kids, getting our frustration out. And, we were artists. And all came together and started producing music.
Interesting.
I should say that the first time that I met Corey, he was on the stage for Taste of St. Louis, and it was in an interim because he was a sous chef for actually the winning team two times around. With the lull, they made him do some hip hop moves. But so while he is an awesome sous chef, he is a very good dancer.
Well, the program's not over yet,
well,
Corey, so we may ask you to bust a few here before we're done. Simon, tell us about your background.
Well, good afternoon. My background, I started in Pittsburgh is where I grew up. And I would like to say I grew up in kind of a foodie family. My dad actually was a chef and caterer. And my mom, my grandmothers, both of them are some of the best cooks I know. And so food was always around me. And I always like to say I've been cooking since I could reach the counter. So I've always been hands-on. I went to vocational school when I was in high school and started the early path to the culinary arts. And then I knew, probably in the 10th grade that I wanted to go to Johnson & Wales. I knew that was, the pedigree I wanted to get and the route I wanted to go. And right after high school, I went to Johnson & Wales and I got my associate's in culinary. And then I decided that I was really into nutrition, but I still really like sports and I wanted to tie that together. And they have a very unique program called culinary nutrition, which I graduated from and got my bachelor's in nutrition from Johnson & Wales as well. And then I was very lucky enough to get an internship with the Cardinals. And that's, I always like to say, that's the good luck that I got with getting involved with the team. That internship was, providing the team with proper nutrition and feeding them and cooking for them. And that's how I got to this path right here.
So you are a nutrition specialist for the Cardinals, and you co-own Athlete Eats?
Athlete Eats, right. Yeah.
And, Corey, as you said before, you're the sous chef at DePaul Health Center.
That's correct.
All right. So when I picture the type of chef I'm familiar with, I think I know what they do in the back of a restaurant. I'm picturing it now with a lot of reality shows you can watch. How are your day-to-day responsibilities and duties different from your counterpart that might be working at the fancy place down the street?
That's a good question. I think it's mine is a little bit definitely of a different atmosphere because my kitchen is actually right down in the clubhouse. So, you're around the guys all day and you definitely have a very, like anybody who cooks in a kitchen, a game plan every day, a menu of something to produce, prep, get ready for. And you're always thinking about what's going on now, what's going on, the next meal and then the day after and then the day after that probably even. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really good. But while that's all going on, with the nutrition aspect of it, we're working with the players, talking with them, seeing how they're feeling, seeing what they need, if there's any way that we can help them through food, and we try to do that.
What about for you, Corey?
Well, to be honest with you, it's just working in a restaurant, but on a larger scale, I would think. We do, at your request, room service for all the patients. We also feed all the doctors and staff that's at the health center.
So you're doing individual meals by order like you would in a restaurant?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you can pretty much order whatever you want at any time of the day. You don't have to, you're not stuck with the Monday meatloaf and that's all you get. We're trying to change people's minds about what hospital food is now.
Right. Well, let me just bring that up. The guy's already laughing.
I know. It could be bland. It could be really bland.
Well, it's got a bad rep, and maybe a long time ago, maybe it deserved it. But why don't you just address that? Because, hospital food jokes and all that, and that probably hits close to home to you because I'm sure you do a fine job.
It does. We do an awesome job. I work with a lot of talented individuals, and the people that we put in these positions, we do it for a reason. That's why we have chefs that work there, so we can change people's minds, because oftentimes when you're a patient there, you're getting bad news all day, poked and prodded. You don't know what's going on, but sometimes the meal can change the whole mood, your whole day, so we really want to emphasize the good food, the wholesome nutrition that you need.
It could be the one thing you look forward to.
When I interviewed Corey, that was one thing that really struck me, because we talked about how he's got some amazing implements, at his fingertips in terms of, appliance-wise, and even, whatever ingredient they might want, that there are more capabilities for them to get that in. And my question was, why does that really matter? I mean, aren't they here for medical care? And what he talked about was, on both ends, essentially a parallel between, what doctors are doing and what on the culinary side they're doing is, can we make people more comfortable? And the way that they can make them more comfortable is with their food. And if it's going to take a great ingredient or, particular methods of preparation and they need certain appliances for that, that's what they're able to do. And that really resonated with me.
Simon, do you relate to any of that as far as, feeding the Cardinals and so forth? What was it like for them before you came around? Maybe did they have their version of hospital food?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's kind of that stigmatism still within baseball that, the food is just really bad for the players, and it's slowly changing. And to kind of build what Corey said, that, food can change your mood and make your day better, that's 100%. And I think that, whether it's athletes, hospital patients, everybody every day, you know, if you have some good food, that shines a bright light and can definitely be good for morale for a team or maybe a group of doctors or anybody trying to get something done. So I think that's very beneficial to the team.
Well, Steve, we should actually let folks know, too, that he is the first team chef for the Cardinals. They've never had a team chef before. So what the environment that he walked into, that kitchen, it was nothing like a true industrial kitchen.
Okay, who's pickier, hospital patients or athletes?
That might be a toss-up right there.
Okay, wait. So when I walked in there, this, in terms of picky, hot sauces, hundreds of hot sauce, because everybody has the hot sauce they want. There's a special container drawer, and I saw four different types of gum, because everybody has their preferred brand. So you know, they are trying to make them comfortable, certainly.
Simon, you brought along some things today, and in the few minutes we have remaining, what you want to tell us what you brought and why? And
yeah, absolutely. I brought a good variety of things that at Athlete Eats we serve, and we do because those are the things that help athletes perform better. One of our most popular dishes on our menu right now is very popular flavor Korean bulgogi. We have the cauli rice that goes with it, which substitutes out rice, so you get some vegetables in there. So that's our play on the bibimbap bowl. We brought some dehydrated kale.
Can I try this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me what it is.
So they're actually a vegan kale chip. So we have some nutritional yeast in there, cashews.
It's attractive. It's sort of like a hard piece of lettuce.
It gives you that something that's salty and crispy, as you can hear it kind of going there.
Join the kale club,
yes,
Steve.
Yes, kale's very big right now.
That's not bad.
The team loves kale, whether it's in chips, whether we're making it, steaming it down, whether we're braising it down, they love it. And we also brought some nice snack bars that we make here, which consist of, dates, nuts, nut butter, and some fresh fruit as well.
Hmm. Last thing I want to ask you, what about what you're working with? If you're working at maybe Tony's, I would think you probably have the best state-of-the-art kitchen in the world. What about if you're at a hospital or if you're underground somewhere at Busch Stadium? What do you got going for you?
We have everything there. Everything we need to make whatever dish, we can do it. That's a good thing because we have a lot of avenues to fill. We have a lot of different meals that we prepare and a lot of different a lot of different people that want to eat, so we have a lot of people to please.
And we're getting there. When I first came, there was nothing in the kitchen other than a range. And we have a great team, coach, management, general manager who understands and values nutrition. And every year we're adding more and more so we can make better, more nutritious, fresher food for the players.
Would you guys want to work in a conventional restaurant?
That's a good question. I actually do a little moonlighting. For local restaurants. I work at Mad Tomato still. It just is a different change of pace, It keeps you fresh, keeps your skills, you're honing your skills every day.
Simon?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, in the off seasons, I always try to go to different states or other restaurants to work with chefs and learn some new ideas and see what I can learn and do different. Like you said, just honing it and keeping it sharp, and you can always make yourself better and more well-rounded.
What's the takeaway on all this, LaGaia?
The takeaway, so many people I think these days are thinking that, I want a career in culinary. What does it mean? Do you have to work in a restaurant? No, you do not. And for those of us who don't, it's really nice to know that I can, go to DePaul if someone is sick and that I know I can get to that cafeteria, and it's going to be good food. They're thinking about it. They're thinking about it harder everywhere.
That's LaGaia Figueres, Executive Director of Sauce Magazine. Also here, Simon Leske, who's the team chef and nutrition specialist for the Cardinals and co-owner of Athlete Eats, and Corey Wilbert, the sous chef at DePaul Health Center. I have one final question for you all. For all you chefs who've taken an alternative path, let's take it one step further. If you had to choose a totally different career altogether, since you've already kind of gone off the beaten track anyway, if you could do anything that didn't have anything to do with food, what would it be, Corey?
I'd be a carpenter, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a hip-hop artist. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Simon?
It's funny that he said that. A builder of some sort. I just bought a bunch of tools recently, and I love working with reclaimed wood and making things that are cool and unique, so I love just creating.
LaGaia, I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't even be here. I'm supposed to be teaching romance language to graduate students.
All right. I was thinking either a bus driver or a United States senator.
Maybe I'll go for mayor. Yeah. Mr. Slay, I'm on you.
Okay, well,
I'd vote for you.
Thanks. Hey, thank you all for being here. It's been fun, and we'll get together and do another edition of Sound Bites next month. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other than one, two, three.
This is St. Louis Public Radio.